So we come to the last message, at least spoken message, in this training lesson 72. And I like to say we will end on a very sweet note. And that is on the reward to the elders and the families, and the desire that we should have in serving God. For that, shall we just turn to 1 Peter 5. We almost round the circle and came back almost to the first passage we read 2 years ago in the beginning of this training. So 1 Peter chapter 5, 1 through 4. And if there would be a passage to elders, this would be it. I think, you know, brothers, maybe we should, I would contribute. In other words, I will pay for it. Someone help us, any design, graphic designers here, design a 8.5 by 11, 8 by 10, or whatever size, with just this passage, these four verses, 1 through 4, with some nice background, whatever, and we'll frame it, and that's your certificate. That's your graduation certificate that you can hang there and remind yourself, this is my certificate. I hope someone would have, I'm sure they're sisters and so on. If you don't, I'll have BFA do it. We have artists and graphic designers. If you want me to do it, no problem. Let's read it together. Chapter 5, 1 through 4. Therefore, the elders among you I exhort, who am a fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ, who am also a partaker of the glory to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God among you, overseeing not under compulsion, but unwillingly, according to God, not by seeking gain through base means, but eagerly, nor as lording it over your allotments, but by becoming patterns of the flock. And when the chief shepherd is manifested, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. You see, Peter actually is more qualified to write this than Paul. You'll be surprised. Than Paul. Because Peter was actually shepherded personally by the Lord Jesus. From the time when, before he was saved, the Lord saved him actually, until the time after the Lord was resurrected to recover him at the Sea of Tiberias, the Lord probably shepherded this man the most of all his disciples. B, because he was with the Lord all that time, one of the 12, he heard everything that the Lord said. And he was not only one of the 12, he was one of the 2 or 3, right? Peter, James, and John, who was the Lord's inner circle. The Lord has an inner circle. That's actually not the inner circle. Those were the particular ones he needed to prepare to carry on his ministry. And you all know, today without Peter's ministry, there would be no Pentecost, there would be no church in Jerusalem. The church age would not have begun. He was the one who was given the keys of the kingdom to open those gates. John, where would we be without John, with the mending ministry, the person with the last word in the New Testament and indeed the whole Bible? the Gospel of John, how special that is, the epistles, and particularly the book of Revelation. And James. Now, so Paul could not have even have this kind of utterance that Peter had. Paul talked about elders a lot. He established elders in a lot of places. But there's something about this passage that is unique, and it touches something that is very, very sweet, I would say, and actually very, very deep. And plus, one more fact, Peter actually became one of the first elders in the church in Jerusalem with thousands of saints. And so when he wrote, he said, who am a fellow elder. Paul never said that. Paul always said, I'm a slave, I'm an apostle, right? And I speak to you elders. Not so with Peter. I'm one of you. Same thing actually with John in the book of Revelation. Your brother. I'm your brother. And fellow partaker. Am I right? In the kingdom. And so the position they took when they wrote these things is not one from above to disciples or a teacher to disciples. He's actually writing as a senior person sharing the same role as the recipients of these words. So you write differently. You write differently. So now, this morning, we're not expounding these four verses. We've done that already several times over the course of this training. This morning, what we want to do is to concentrate on the matter of the reward. The reward to the elders. And Brother Lee even say, even to their families. You know why? Because in a true faithful elder, their family, especially the spouse, and often children, have to almost partake of and enter into their sufferings. Have to pay the price so that the brother can serve as a faithful elder. So there's a lot of feeling here. There's a lot of sweet feeling here that the word is not only to the elders, but even to their families. And then the second point, the desire that we should have in serving God. Again, we're rounding the circle. We started with Paul's word, right? It is good to aspire to overseership. Paul said that. Here, Brother Lee, at the end, we conclude with this word, and that is back to the aspiration, back to the desire. So I still remember in my first words in this training was mainly to the brothers who are not elders amongst us. So I end this training by saying this word to you again, and that is that desire and that aspiration. Only now, not only with a view of the need of such service, the need of proper eldership, but now, after these 2 years, we're going to talk about this aspiration or desire in light of the reward. Amen. A little differently. All right, let's read. Let's read one together. The elders, willing and faithful shepherding, will be rewarded with the unfading crown of glory at the manifestation of the chief shepherd. So, those elders who serve willingly and not by compulsion or under compulsion, those who serve happily, voluntarily, without any thought of self-gain, self-enrichment, in a pure way, these elders, faithful elders, who carry out the shepherding work amongst God's flock, will be rewarded. Listen, will be rewarded with the unfading crown of glory at the manifestation of the chief shepherd himself. That is when, at the time of the Lord's coming. Now, this is a promise. This is a promise, one of the promises to a particular group of people. You know, the Lord has promises to all the overcomers in Revelation 2 and 3. But here, almost the only place I can find, the Lord has a promise to elders. Paul's word about, henceforth there's a crown of righteousness that is prepared for me, not only to me, but those who love his appearing. That was another kind of crown. But this is a crown for elders. A, Christ as the chief shepherd is taking care of the shepherding of his churches. When he comes back, he will reward the faithful ones who cooperated with him. You know, brothers, even when I read this, I read it with a lot of feeling. Just a lot of feeling. And brothers, you have to serve the saints with that kind of feeling. And that is, we take care of the saints, we take care of the churches, not just because there's a need, which there is, or not just because you are called or you are burdened to do so, which are all necessary. You do this, listen, because these are his sheep. This is his flock. And he is the shepherd who cares for nothing more than his own sheep and his own flock. That's the reason. That's the reason. Not even because there's a need. You take care of it because he wants it. Because this is his. And by doing this, we actually enter into his heart and enter into his labor. And we enter into the Lord's work. To such ones, when he comes back, he will reward. Brothers, none of us should serve because the church will give us a paycheck. What if the church does not give you a paycheck? Then will you serve? Will you say, I lost my source of livelihood? Why are you serving? Why are you taking care of the church? Why are you taking some lead there? What is the deep down? What is the driver? Is it money? Is it position? Is it some kind of self-gratification? What is it? I say, if there's anything besides this, it's still impure. It's still impure. I serve because these sheep are his, and I'm one with him, his heart, for these sheep, for the saints, for the churches. That's all. That's the only reason that I am serving the church. That's purity. You're not only taking care of the sheep, brothers, you're now taking care of the Lord. You're not just serving the church. By doing this, you're serving Him. All right. B, in 1 Peter 5:4, Peter says that the elders will be rewarded with the crown of glory. However, this reward will depend on the result of their eldership. So you may serve as an elder, but you may not get the crown. There exists a possibility. Don't think because I serve, there's a crown. No, there's some qualification here. The reward depends on their eldership. In other words, how they execute that office. If as a result of their eldership, the saints mature, that means they grow, they mature, that maturity will become a crown of glory to the elders. I like this interpretation. That will then be their reward. In other words, we build our own reward. And the product of our work, the results of our work, is actually the crown. Do you follow me, brothers? Elsewhere, Paul always says, especially in Thessalonians, you are my crown. You are my joy. I have a whole message on that. One Lord's Day, I was so inspired by that, and I wrote an outline. I'll send you the outline. The outline, based mainly on Thessalonians, where Paul said this, one of the main places. This is in 1 Thessalonians 2, where, you know, he talked about he was a nursing mother, he was a exhorting father, etc. Okay, he said this. For what is our hope or joy or crown of boasting before the Lord Jesus at his coming? So the context is the same. The coming of the Lord. Are not even you. For you are our glory and joy. You couldn't be more clear than this. You know what that crown is? It's not some physical thing glowing in the air somewhere. You go and pick it up and put it on. That's not it. Now, if one day that happens, so be it. But I'm gonna hedge and not expect that, lest I be disappointed. The real crown are the saints. The saints whom you serve in love with much endurance. The saints who grow and mature. And one day Paul says, I'm going to present them full grown in Christ. Those saints will be Paul's crown. And he's going to have a pretty large crown, I think. You agree? Now, we may not have such a large crown like him, but still, brothers, today, we have to be clear about this principle. And that is, our work today is not just, I also round the circle here, signing checks. Are you still signing checks? Deciding on wallpaper in the meeting hall and think that's an elder's job? Now, if you still think that way, these 2 years has been in vain. I have failed. I have failed utterly. You should be taking care of people. You know, some may say, well, after 2 years, now tell us what to do. What? I told you what to do already. Every once a month, I'm here to tell you what to do. You didn't do it. I told you, you should go to your phone list, didn't I? And use half a year and go through. Did you do it? And you say, I don't know. I still have nothing to do. I've been through these 2 years, and these 2 years didn't really help me to do anything. I just got a bunch of points. What? What? Is that fair? I told you what to do. Did you not do it? That exposes you having a wrong concept of what is to administrate the church. Just because you don't get to sign the check, so you're not an elder, right? You don't get to make some decisions, so you're not an elder, right? I tell you one day, there probably are many who are not elders who will get a bigger crown than you and I. Only the Lord knows. Even sisters will get a bigger crown than you and I who sign checks every day. I'm serious, brothers. How many saints have you cared for? How many saints you have helped to grow in life? How many saints you have helped to mature? How many saints you have perfected into their function? So I will tell you, brothers, let me say this again. Visitation and the contact of the saints is huge. You're still waiting? Brothers, you're still waiting for a job description? Why are you not already doing it? Today, typically, you compare our phone list to our, let's say, once a month attendance, am I right? I would say that so-called dormant meaning saints who don't come to meetings, but still on a phone list, they're not negative. They're easily 25% of our, one out of four in our phone list is not coming to the meetings. These are lost sheep, wayward sheep. What are you doing? What are we doing? Where's our heart? That's a work for the elders. Of course, not just the elders, but that's a. I like to see in some churches, some elders, or an elder, or some saints, would just pick this up as a particular ministry. Brotherly say, to recover a brother in 3 years' time is well worth it. But here we are. Just come to the meetings, go to the meetings, make decisions, do this, do that. And meanwhile, one-fourth, sometimes even one-third, are not in the meetings. Who cares? No. There's too much work to be done. The problem here is not there's not enough work. You're looking for the wrong thing. Wrong kind of work. This is the real work, working on people. The church is about people, brothers. It's not about things. It's not about the meeting hall, although we need meeting halls. It's about people. We preach the gospel. It's about people. That's why elders should preach the gospel. Should shepherd people, to perfect people. Why do we have home meetings? Not just so that I have a home meeting. That means nothing. The home meeting is to care for people. It's a people-caring place. It's the shepherd's tent. We'll get into more of this in the coming year with all the saints. So I hope you have a change of mind. What is a reward? What is the crown? It's a crown of glory. Now, Paul says, He really is consistent with Peter. You're my crown. You're my joy. Even Paul says, you're my hope. Paul, when the saints are not doing well, gets terribly discouraged. Because the saints are his hope and joy and crown of boasting. I'd like to say a word to the younger brothers. Don't, you know, you hear, oh, what is my job? I don't have a job yet. I just come to this training. I don't have a job yet. You missed it. You have missed it. You just have missed it. It's about people. Start with one person. How about start with caring for one person? A dormant believer in your neighborhood, a college saint, even a needy one or a young one, whatever. Just start with one. Otherwise, you don't know what is to be an elder. But here Paul is talking about not just taking care of someone, but nurturing and fostering someone until they grow to maturity. Okay, one, many of us are working with young saints. The result of our work should be the maturing of these believers. Two, if they mature properly, they will be in the kingdom, participating in God's glory. This maturity will then become our crown, joy, and boast. So, brotherly quote, 1 Thess, before the Lord Jesus at his coming. Three, suppose, however, that we work continually with the new believers, but to no avail. That means we work on people and nothing happens to them. They don't grow. If this is the situation at the Lord's coming back, there will be no result of our work. What a shame that would be. You will still stand there and say, I was an elder, but with nothing to show, meaning no person to show. A lot of checks signed, stacks of them, but no one to show. What kind of elder is that? I would tell you, brothers, elders are not even the so-called decision-making body. You know, what we do is make decisions. Someone has to make decisions, so the elders have to make decisions. I'm very faithful. Every time I vote, you know, in the Congress, I show up at the chamber, the Senate chamber. I never miss my vote. Are we a legislative body? Are we some management team to make decisions? I'm not saying we don't need to make decisions. Please don't take me wrong. But is that what you are thinking to be an elder about? To make decisions about your church? This is a great lacking among us, my brothers, today. A lot of thinking, whoa, wow. But when it comes down to it, who is doing it? Four. When the Lord Jesus comes, the result of our work will be manifested. It will be, for sure. See, in 1 Peter 5, there's a great promise concerning the reward to the elders. At the apostles' time, crowns were given to victors in athletic games and warfare, though those were corruptible crowns whose glory faded. Indeed, the crown given by the Lord to the faithful elders will be a reward for their loyal service. The glory of the crown will never fade. It will be a portion of the glory for the overcomer's enjoyment in the manifestation of the kingdom of God and Christ. At the kingdom, when we are surrounded by those we shepherded and lay down our soul lives for, that we nursed, that we perfected, that even we, Paul says, I travail in birth again until Christ is formed in you. The work of our travail, what enjoyment that will be. What glory would that be, brothers? I may be too much. I'm a bad man. I'm just a bad person. But if you come to this training and you don't do what this training tells you to do, this training is for naught. It's just empty. It's just vain. You got some good points, some help granted. But it's a unsuccessful training. Today, as we're sitting here, there are saints sitting there waiting for you to go care for them right now. Tons of them. But to you, they're okay. They're coming to meetings, right? They're showing up. We need a total change of mentality in the way we care for people, care for the church. Do you, as elders, have the assurance that you are partakers of the glory to be revealed? Whether an elder will be a partaker of glory to come depends upon how noble and faithful he is as a witness. Now, I just said this message is going to be a sweet one. By now, it has become quite bitter. It's bittersweet. You know, I like those chocolate that is very chocolatey, but there's a lot of salt there. It enhances the chocolate flavor. Do you know what I mean? And I also like to, you know, Eddie, he's always make me these drinks. This is my trusted lemon, fresh lemon, and honey drink. And if it's all honey, I don't like it. But if it's all lemon, I can't drink it. It's too tart. But honey and lemon, perfect. Perfecto. Dear saints, yes, it sounds I'm not that sweet right now, but the bittersweet is tastes better. Amen. Just sweet. No, the bittersweet. That means the sweetness will be enhanced by the bitterness. The bitterness is not to take away the sweetness. It is to enhance the sweetness. And so I say these rather strong words to you. Brothers, this is the last training. If you don't start now, then I don't know when you will start. You should start today. You don't need some grandiose plan. You don't need some master plan. You just need to pick up the phone and call that first person. Pick up that phone and call that first saint and meet with him and pray for him. You just start. That's where it starts. The meetings on Lord's Day, it'll go on. We need to improve that, but it'll go on. But this is much more important. There's some saint right now needing your care. And I say again and again, elders care for people is not firefighting. Oh, problem. Let's go there. Fight that fire. So most of the time, these firemen, they're sitting there doing nothing, just cleaning their equipment, you know? Are you that kind of elder? Just shining your equipment because there's no fire to fight. Praise the Lord, our church is wonderful. We never have a problem. Is that an elder? waiting for fires to come. Go, brothers. Go. If you don't go, how will the saints go? You talk about renewal, revival, restoration. Let me tell you, practically, that's where it starts. I'm not looking for some Pentecostal spirit to drop down here. We all jump up and down. Oh, we're renewed. We're revived. I rather believe the kind of revival that comes from every one of us shepherding. That will bring a more long-term revival and a more lasting revival. Next year, we're going to start training the saints in a perfecting training. My heart is that, Lord, we've got 300 brothers, or whatever that number is. They've been through 2 years. If they have been doing their job, or at least starting to, they will become the catalysts. They will become the spark plugs. They will become the factor, even the patterns, so that when we go to the saints and train them, already there's 300 brothers operating, moving, stirring up the situation. Otherwise, we go to that training, we're doing nothing, they're doing nothing. It's like we have to start from scratch. Then these 2 years of training is somewhat, not entirely, failed. Okay, let us continue. Do you... 11:40. Oh, Lord. Okay. Do you as elders have the assurance that you are partakers of the glory to be revealed? Whether an elder will be a partaker of the glory to come depends upon how noble and faithful. I like these two words, noble and faithful. Noble means something very high, something honorable. I really hope to see that everywhere in every church, the eldership is a noble eldership. Not a proud one, but a noble one. And faithful, of course. Loyal. As a witness. Okay. F. The point here is that an elder must be willing to sacrifice himself. I come back to this word, sacrifice. It's all about sacrifice. All about sacrifice. It's all about sacrifice, brothers. There's no way around that. I mentioned in the morning, it's all about endurance. Now I say it's all about sacrifice. And then you sacrifice. Then you need more sacrifice. Then you more sacrifice. Then you need to more sacrifice. That's how things go. That's the way to work. That's the way to serve. Just keep sacrificing ourselves, laying down our soul life for the Lord's sheep. Not only the elders themselves, but the elders' wives, now we come to our spouses, also need to have the concept of sacrifice in relation to the eldership. It is not right for a wife to feel uplifted when her husband is put into eldership. We covered that already. To be an elder is not a matter of gain. It is a matter of sacrifice. Any brother who would be a good elder must sacrifice himself. He will have to sacrifice his time and even his family life. I know how the spouses suffer personally. Just like you. I know. And you don't talk about these things because it's hard to talk about these things. It's true in a proper situation. Actually, sometimes the wife has to suffer even more. sacrifice even more than the brother. The Lord only knows, and the Lord will remember that. Even our children have to suffer. Yes, even our children. I'm not talking about being inhuman, being crazy, being extreme, and not care for your wife and not care for your children. That's another story. That's for another discussion. But I'm talking about the spirit, the attitude. If there's no sacrifice, there's no proper eldership. Talking about fragrance, Jacob, fragrance. The first factor of fragrance in a church is sacrifice, especially by the leading brothers. That's the first source of fragrance in any church. Three, the elders will need to sacrifice not only their time and their energy, but even their lives. At least their soul lives. Four, if the elders are willing to sacrifice in this way, then they will be witnesses of the sufferings of Christ and partakers of the coming glory. First, an elder must participate in Christ's suffering. Only then can he share in Christ's glory. That's a divine principle in this day and age. And that is, the goal is glory, but the way is defined by sufferings. In fact, it says what? That is our entrance into glory through many sufferings. The Lord led that way, and we follow him in that way. Five, I can testify that all the churches in the Lord's recovery have been raised up, established, and built up for most part due to the faithfulness and sacrifice of the elders. He didn't say co-workers. He said elders. I would say that the establishing and the building up of the churches is perhaps 60 or 70% due to the elders' labor and sacrifice, and 30 to 40% due to the ministry, meaning his ministry. Seeing these percentages will help us to realize the importance of the eldership. Where there is a loyal, faithful, and sacrificing eldership, the church will be strong and established. Life study of Peter. Two, to be an elder is a... Can you reread, please? To be an elder is a great blessing to one's family and to the church. It is surely worthwhile for a brother to aspire to oversight. Although being an elder is the most difficult job, it is a great blessing. Now, you have to do the accounting. When you're sacrificing, when you're laboring, when you're so tired, you still have to go, you still have to take care of the needs of the saints, and so on and so forth. At that time, do you complain? Or do you have the sense, I'm blessed. I'm blessed with this service, hard as it is. Well, at that time, brothers, you need to think. No, this is a blessing. Amen. I'm blessed. Amen. Who has that kind of blessing? I do. You see what I'm saying, brothers? We need to train our mind, arm our mind with a weapon of what? Of suffering. This is one main chapter in the book, character of the Lord's worker. B, eventually the children of an elder will enjoy the Lord's reward. Even the children. My, this is Brother Lee speaking so sweetly, so caringly. One, an elder's children may be troubled by the fact that their father gives so much of their time to the church. If an elder fails to give adequate time to the church life, he cannot fulfill his responsibility properly. However, because the church takes so much of his time, he has relatively little time to devote to his children. We should encourage the children of the elders to realize that for their father to give his time to the church is very acceptable to God. Instead of being disappointed by their situation, they should be glad that the father has consecrated his life and time to the Lord's recovery. Temporarily, the children may have some hardship, but the Lord will reward them. Amen. Oh, I'm so comforted by this, aren't you? So comforted by this. Now, this doesn't mean we go crazy. never go home. Brothers, you know what we're talking about here. There will be needs. There will be urgent situations. There will be things that call upon us often. So this is a word of comfort. Three, let's read. We need to see the desire that we should have in serving God. I just read. Those who know the principles in God's work knows that he needs people to work with him. That's the principle. That's a grand principle. God needs man. In order for God to give grace to man or work in man, there must be someone who works and cooperates with God. When God wanted to speak to the children of Israel and to work among them, he first asked Isaiah, "Whom should I send? Who would go for us?" Although God had already decided to speak to the children of Israel and to work in their midst, he had to find someone on earth who would work with him according to his mind. God is still calling and looking for people. God's principle is not that man would wait for God to work, but that he would wait for man to work. God has a desire to work on the earth, but he has been waiting for us to work with him on the earth. God is saying, where are the elders? Where are they? Whom should I send? B, the raising up of gifts, elders, and deacons should not merely be an item of our prayer. It should be our desire. In every church, there should be many people rising up with a desire to become useful gifts and become elders and deacons. They will meet God's present need for salvation of many souls and for fulfilling of our hope. Let me say this, brothers. This is the last meeting, so I'm going to say it. It is my earnest expectation and hope, to quote Paul, some of you, quote, quote, younger brothers, quote, quote, you're in your 40s, you're in your 30s, that you will see this. You will see this. You will see God's need. You would be filled with a divine desire to serve with all of your time. With all of your time. Not when you're 80, not when you're 60, but when you're 40, when you're 30. You would count what you can gain in this world as loss. And because you see this, you see God's need, you see God's care for his own flock, needing shepherds to help him to shepherd his own possessions. You sympathize with him. You volunteer yourself to live the rest of your life doing just that. I expect to see that. I pray for that. Those of us who are old, we've done whatever. But I'm looking for the younger ones among us. I'm not looking for everybody. But those that have this heart with a Nazarite spirit, I pray for you to meet God's present need for the salvation of many souls and the fulfilling of our hope. We need brothers to rise up with the desire to become gifts, elders, deacons. We simply need this. The field is too great. The need plenteous. And I would even say desperate. We want to do something in Northern California. How do we do it? when we have no workers? We need to start up more new churches. How do we do it when we have no elders? See, if we want to receive spiritual gifts and ministries, including the eldership, we need to earnestly desire them, and we also need to know how to receive gifts and ministries. We need to seek. Seeking, including petitioning to God, but seeking is not merely petitioning. Seeking requires that we take action in order to acquire. Do you see this? You don't sit there passively saying, I seek. You proactively seek. Now, the Lord have to purify our ambitions so that when we seek, we are pure. But I will tell you my own testimony is from the time when the Lord revived me at a rather young age, that is, before I was 20, I began to aggressively seek to serve. I was never passive. Never. Like, well, if the brothers want me to serve, they should come and tell me. Never happened. Now, I was undergoing a process of refinement and purification, for sure, because I was quite mixed up. But I'm talking about the heart. You know, today, we may be better on the purity department, but we may be weak in the seeking department, in the recovery. So we're short of hands. Too much calculation. Too much planning everything out. No one knows how to walk on water by looking at Jesus. It's not the element of faith. We become timid. There's no daring. Brothers, I'm very burdened about this as I look at Northern California. This field is huge. And we need a next generation of brothers who are as consecrated, if not more, than some of us to do this work. And this is not a talk. This is real. What about my wife? What about my family? What about the mortgage? What about... Well, all those questions will not make you strong to serve. It's a spirit of abandonment. It is a spirit of absoluteness, which is tied to what? Tied to seeing God's need. John Glenn just died, the first U.S. astronaut to round the Earth 3 times. He almost single-handedly raised the self-esteem of this country during the Cold War. You know, JFK talked about putting a man on the moon, and that become a sort of a goal he set for the country. And that goal lift the nation up. I mean, they were long ways from that. We didn't get to the moon until like 7-8 years later. But that goal, just like the war, just everybody closed ranks because it was a Cold War. Yeah. At that time, it's the space race that defined who's who. Right? Who's a superpower? Some of us remember that. Some of us don't remember that, or you don't even know that. It's sad. Today, people don't know history. Well, anyway, of course, they send the first person on the moon. They send the second on the moon, and they round the Earth, and the U.S. failed. They put 2 guys up there. just touched the edge of space and came down. And clearly, USSR was ahead. And finally, the time came. And John Glenn got the selection. You know what? That Mercury capsule is about 10 feet long. I saw one. From about there to about here. That's about it. There's not a computer on there. Today, what you have in your phone is many times more powerful than that capsule, your smartphone. And it was so bad that halfway they say, you have to fly it now yourself because things are malfunctioning. And several times he was sitting on there for hours on top of that thing and it never lift off because of weather, because of this, that, and the other. I'm sorry I'm taking so long. It's 12 noon. But I have to finish my John Glenn story. So at the cost of the risk of his life, I mean those days, it's you don't come back. The likelihood is probably more than 50%. You don't come back. So they send these monkeys up there, you know. Never came back. He went up three rounds later, just a few hours, he came back. And he came back, they say, hey, those heat shields are falling apart, so you better do your best. Well, the rest is history. But my point is this. John Glenn is from Ohio. And one of the many heroes from that part of the country. And he later ran for Senate and served, you know, for many years until an old age. And he would go give talks, and in his talks, he always would talk about this. He said, God has given all talents, right, abilities. He said, until when we live for something bigger than ourselves, our life will never be fulfilled. And he meant the country. He meant mankind. You understand? By the way, I believe he's a real brother. He's a real Christian. Now, brothers, this is on the human realm. But I like to say the same thing to all of us. If we Christians, especially we believers in the recovery, the Lord's best, if we don't live for something bigger than ourselves, then you will not be fulfilled. Even, I like to tell you, even the church life can be self-serving. Even to have a good church life is not it. We're for a good church life, absolutely. But just to have a happy church life is not fulfilling. It gives you meaning, but it doesn't give you a purpose. Until we do serve something, a cause greater than ourselves, we will never be fulfilled. I like that. Brothers, I say this word to all of us, and especially to the younger learning brothers. I better finish reading. Where am I? Two, we need consecration. God gives gifts and ministries, but we must consecrate ourselves thoroughly, unreservedly, and specifically to the Lord in order to receive them. See, God has given you a gift. So John Glenn says, we all have gifts and talents. But everyone has it. It's what you do with them. Here, we must consecrate ourselves to the Lord. That's what we should do. We need to leave all. Many more saints would receive spiritual gifts and ministries if we would leave all the things that hinder us, If we truly want the Lord to have a free way among us, we must follow our inner sense and forsake the earthly things. There's no way around this. That's the Lord's call. Come, follow me. I'll make you a fisher of men. We need to be broken, leaving all deals with things outside of us, but being broken deals with the self inside of us. Our temper, disposition, habits, flesh, and self need to be broken by God in order for us to receive spiritual gifts and ministries. We need to study and learn. If we desire to receive a certain gift or ministry, we must take heed to learn the things related to that gift or ministry. To learn those things need time. And what? All of us don't have that much to offer, materially and so on. But you know one thing we have that we all can offer? And that's something that is equal, equally distributed. No one got more than the other. It's called time. It's called time. You don't have a dollar in your pocket, but you still have time. And what the Lord wants is not the dollar. He wants your time. Without this, our work will be good, but general and slow, and probably without that much impact. Today, brothers, if there would be the recovery of this spirit of absoluteness, consecration, and abandonment for the Lord's sake, you will see the power in your life and the impact of the church life as we did before. You know, people come one meeting, that's it. It's not the message. It's not this motley crew, you know. Just they touch something they want, but they never see. A group of people who are just gave up everything for something. This got to be real. This got to be real. And it is real in this case. It's Christ with the church. It's God's heart's desire and God's satisfaction. So I end here. I think it is good to have a little prayer. It's okay. What time is it now?
12:07.
Let's have 3 minutes of prayer, and we still have 10 minutes or 15 minutes of a break. Let's have some prayer, shall we, two by two.